Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One day last week, I realized that it was the 42nd anniversary of my ordination as a minister of Word, Sacrament, and Pastoral Care in the United Church of Canada. And I was recalling not only the ordination service at First United Church in Waterloo, when we then marched down King Street to the Mutual Life Auditorium for the celebration, but I had stronger memories of the ordinands retreat a few weeks before that at Five Oaks near Paris, where we had a series of appointments intended for discernment, interviews, and recommendations to be ordained or not. It was a culmination of an intense process spread over several years, a process which ended, if successful, in a service of laying on of hands and ordination, much like we experienced in our confirmation service last week. In order to become a minister in most denominations, as in the United Church, a ministerial candidate is to be examined and tested theologically. And I'm sure you would agree that the church not only has a right, but a responsibility to know if a person is theologically sound before authorizing ordination. Jason and others who have been ordained, I'm not sure about the process that you endured or what kind of theological questions they asked you, but 42 years down the road, I have to admit to myself and to you that I still don't understand God. I hope that doesn't disturb you or make you feel cautious about what's going to happen here today. But really, how does anyone adequately discuss or describe God? The wonder of God, the greatness of God, the unconditional love and grace of God. How do we give expression to the reality of God in this world, in our faith community, and in our own lives? I don't know about you, but really, it's all too much for me. Am I having a crisis of faith? I don't think so. Can I adequately describe God? I don't think so. But you know, I'm still willing to give it a try, so please bear with me and bring forth your ideas. Allow the Spirit to speak to all of us. On this Trinity Sunday, when we celebrate the God who has come to the world as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, let's take a few minutes to think about how we describe God, how we understand and share God. It seems to me, both politically and socially, there's no better time for we Christians to be able to express our faith in God. The Apostles' Creed, the ancient creed which most likely originated in 5th century Gaul, which many of us had to memorize when we were being confirmed, the Apostles' Creed begins with the words, "I believe in God." The Nicene Creed, which comes from the 4th century, begins with the words, "I believe in one God." The United Church of Canada created a new creed in 1968, which affirms we believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. So without using the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our creed acknowledges the three natures of God. Our creed affirms the basis of union of the United Church of Canada from 1925. Article 1 of our doctrine says, "We believe in the one, only, living, and true God. We worship Him in the unity of the Godhead and the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons of the same substance, equal in power and glory." That's Article 1 of our doctrine. Sounds good, but I sure didn't say any of that in my ordination interview. Today on this Trinity Sunday, I would like to look at three other words, that describe the triune God: Creator, Redeemer, and Counselor. First, God is Creator. Next to the view of God as Father, Mother, Parent, we believe in God as Creator. And this is more deeply implanted than any other. The Paley argument, the teleological argument from the late 1700s, makes real sense to me because, simply put, it says, if you find a watch, you know there must be a watchmaker. In 1954, Albert Einstein said, I cannot believe that God plays dice with the cosmos. Popular magazines now have articles about biology's most recent discoveries telling us that God, the Creator, is not playing dice, that there truly is plan and order in creation, particularly in the most celebrated chemical of our time, DNA, the master choreographer of the living cell and carrier of the genetic code. I'm no scientist, believe me, but I do understand that a gene is the basic unit of heredity, a bit of biochemical information which tells the cell what to do. Did you know that a human cell, one human cell, has some 100,000 different genes linked with strands? And these long strands of DNA are intertwined in the core of living cells, and DNA is so narrow and so tightly coiled that all the genes in the human body would fit into a package the size of an ice cube. But if all the DNA were unwound, if you took out all of that DNA out of the little package the size of an ice cube and unwound it and joined it together, that string could stretch from the earth to the sun and back 400 times. Think about it. We are not some accident. We were created. And long before we knew about genes, long before we knew about cells and DNA, the Hebrew writers were telling us, in the beginning, God created. The psalmist was exclaiming, what am I that you're mindful of me? And who are we that you should care for us? You knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God is our Creator. Second, God is our Redeemer. God in Christ as Redeemer means that it is Christ who renews our relationship with the Creator, who renews our sense of self-worth, and who renews our awareness of the holy in our neighbor and in our world. Frances Ridley Havergal puts it in these words in one of her hymns, I cannot do without thee, I cannot stand alone, I have no strength nor goodness nor wisdom of my own, but thou, beloved Savior, art all in all to me, and perfect strength and weakness is theirs who lean on thee. St. Augustine wrote, I have read Plato and Cicero's sayings, and they're very wise and they're very beautiful, but I have never read in either of them, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God is Creator, God is Redeemer. And third, God is Counselor, or in today's word, therapist. Jesus said to his disciples, it's for your own good that I'm going, because unless I go, the Counselor will not come to you. Henry Nouwen in The Living Reminder writes, the great mystery of the divine revelation is that God entered into intimacy with us not only by Christ's coming, but also by his leaving. This idea becomes clear in the lives of people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who experiences God's presence in the midst of God's absence. Bonhoeffer writes, the God who is with us is the God who forsakes us. Before God and with God, we live without God. Jesus said, if you love me and obey what I command, I will ask God, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. You know him because he lives with you, and he will be in you. Creator, Redeemer, Counselor. Yet I still don't understand the Trinity. How are there three persons in one? I know some of the analogies given. I'm a husband, a father, a grandfather, but I'm just one person. The Trinity is like water, which is one element but has three forms, frozen, liquid, and vapor. Yes, we all know the analogies, but I still don't understand intellectually the doctrine of the Trinity. It's so perplexing. Philosophically, it's mysterious. Experientially, it seems, is the way to know. It may be that Coyle's words in Dostoevsky's novel is right. Oh, I've nothing against God. I admit that God is needed for the order of the universe and all that. And if there were no God, he would have been created or invented. Has God been invented? Can the creature create the creator? The child, the parent? Can the axe turn itself against the handle or the clay against the potter? No, I don't understand the Trinity, but if I wait to understand every experience in life before I enjoy it and am blessed by its benefits, then I may never fly in an airplane or use electricity, never take an aspirin or enjoy a sunset or a sunrise or a rainbow, never experience the love of my wife and children and granddaughter. All these and much more in life, I don't understand. I simply believe and accept and am blessed. Thus, I believe and accept and am blessed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you are too. Oh, and by the way, if God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Counselor, can love even me, I do not doubt for a minute that God loves your pets. So let's bring our pets together to receive the blessing of their Creator, our God, our friend, our companion. Thanks be to God.